Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The sermon this morning is based on the gospel lesson I just read from Luke chapter 12. You would like to follow along with the written sermon notes. You'll find those written notes in the middle of page 3 in your bulletin. Let's see how in tune you are with pop culture. A popular financial services company asked the question, where's your... Nobody knows? Boy, they were shouting at the earlier service, where is your wallet? Okay? Did the light bulb go on a little bit? Okay. What's in your wallet? Maybe it's because I didn't phrase it exactly right. I'll give you a pass. In asking that question, they're suggesting that if you engage in their services, that your personal finances and your benefits will be ahead of others. If you carry a Capital One card. I don't, so I don't know if that's accurate or not. The incident in our gospel lesson today from Luke chapter 12, the person who comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me, and then Jesus' subsequent telling of a parable related to that incident suggests a question for you and for me to consider as we reflect on Jesus' words. And that question is this: toward what is your life oriented? Toward what is your life oriented? What is the focus of your life? Where is your treasure? What is more important in your life? What is less important in your life? What is not at all important in your life? In response to the man's request, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me, Jesus speaks a word of warning. He responds by saying, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And then Jesus goes on to tell a parable in response to this situation. A parable we know as the parable of the rich fool. The rich fool majored in minors. He was very successful in his profession of agriculture. He had a surplus of crops. No doubt he had a well-oiled machine, a smooth operation. By any worldly standards, he was wildly successful. And yet, he majored in minors. He was playing life with the wrong scorecard. His scorecard read, more is better and even more is even better. He displays no concern for anyone else. He doesn't think, how can I possibly use these wonderful blessings to be a blessing to others? In fact, he doesn't even understand that he has been blessed. In his mind, his bountiful harvest is due to his own skill and effort. That's why he is called a fool. He thinks he has life by the tail. But in the process of living a life focused on himself, focused on the acquisition of things, instead of a life focused on God, he is indeed foolish. Eternally so. Jesus specifically warns his hearers about the sin of coveting in our gospel lesson. Coveting is a sinful wanting of something. It usually turns into an intense preoccupation with getting something. It might be a thing, it might be a relationship, it might be a feeling of being noticed or popular. Frequently, coveting quickly goes from a simple thought or a quick glance to something far more insidious, to an intense preoccupation that orients life, that focuses on getting that thing or having that feeling. That's why in our second lesson read in worship this morning, Paul says bluntly, coveting is idolatry. Coveting leads to placing one's trust and one's confidence in that thing, in that feeling, in that relationship, in whatever that thing is that is being coveted. And it pushes God aside, often with tragic consequences. Coveting is a very serious matter. Sometimes we feel that, well, as long as I just think it, but don't say it or act upon it, that things will be okay. Don't be deceived. Coveting often leads to multiple other sins. When Eve was there in the garden, it was that covetous thought that I can be like God that led her to directly disobey God and eat the forbidden fruit, and then to deflect the blame and the consequences for her actions afterwards. King David's string of sin started with a simple glance at a beautiful woman and led to adultery, murder, and lies. James describes it this way in his letter: each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Coveting, a thought, a glance, quickly mushrooms into a roaring freight train of desire that can derail our lives. And one thing easily leads to another. That's why Jesus says, watch out, be on guard. Jesus says the corrective to coveting is being rich toward God. We sometimes hear that only in terms of money, but Jesus is talking about something far broader than that. He's using relational language. He's talking about our relationship with God. He's talking about the vital importance of that relationship, the health and strength and depth of our relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's talking about a life oriented toward God. The antidote for coveting is to remember whose you are. To remember that God has first claimed you in the waters of baptism. To remember that you are His dear child. To remember that in your baptism you are connected to the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That God has raised you to a new life. A life that is being fashioned more and more into the image of Christ. We have the opportunity daily to return to that power in our baptism, to set our minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. Each day we die to sin and rise to that new life created in us by Christ. We remember our identity as baptized children of God. Where's your treasure? It's in Christ, your Savior. It's in Christ, your Lord. It's in Christ in whom you are baptized and now live as a new redeemed child of God. It's in Christ who is all and who is in all. Make no mistake about it. The temptation to covet is all around us, and it's not going away. The lure of setting our hearts and minds on the things of this world instead of the things above is a daily struggle and reality in our lives. Be on guard. Return to your baptism. For there you will find all the riches and the treasures of Christ for you. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever.